Our next guest is a man we've been paying attention to for a long time on television. He's been a TV analyst for several of the networks and CNN, and he's a very prolific guy. Jeff Greenfield is here to talk about last night's dueling debates, sort of, kind of. Jeff, good to have you back with us.
Nice to be up here. At least virtually.
Yes, virtually in the wine country. Well, it's not probably not the best time to be in the wine country anyway. So you're okay in that regard. But I'll tell you what, with regard to last night's effort on NBC, Savannah Guthrie took off the gloves, didn't she?
Yeah, what struck me about what she did, and I think it should be instructive for future engagements with candidates, is that she did something we don't usually see from American journalists. This is a style of confrontational questioning much more common in Great Britain.
Really?
There's a journalist there named Andrew Neil who had Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour Party candidate for Prime Minister time. And it was like a police detective interrogating the suspect. He just would not let go of the questions he thought Corbyn wouldn't answer again and again and again. And while Savannah Guthrie wasn't quite that confrontational, she kept coming back with data. When he would make an assertion that 85% of the people who wear masks get the virus, she said, no, that's not what that says. You don't remember if you had a test? She came back to that, is it possible? Well, is it possible? Did you have a test before you went to the debate? And it's just not a style that we're used to. You can think of tough interrogators, Chris Wallace on Fox News, Jake Tapper on CNN, Martha Raddatz, I've seen her on ABC. But the idea of coming to an interview prepared to keep pushing when you get an evasive answer, I think is something that we could use more of. I thought, for instance, there were tougher questions that Stephanopoulos could have posed to Joe Biden.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I mean, he did the conventional thing. Why won't you tell us about packing the court? And some of the questioners from the audience, you'd regret the crime bill. But it occurred to me, one of the questions you might ask him is that the defense secretary, Robert Gates, who served under Obama and Bush, said of Joe Biden, he has been wrong about every major foreign policy decision that I can remember. That's the kind of thing, you ought to present that to a Biden and say, that's a pretty rough judgment on you from a guy who was in your own administration. Why did you stay supporting the Iraq war, and haven't you misrepresented just how supportive you were? I think we need more of that. You can't do it in press conferences for two reasons. One, reporters want to ask their own questions. And so if a president ducks one question, the next reporter, with very few exceptions, we may have seen it once or twice, doesn't say, oh, Mr. President, you never answered that last question.
Right, because they've got their own question to ask, yeah.
Right. And the second reason is at some point the president can just say, well, I ignore you or leave. Town meetings really put a candidate in the spotlight in a way that ducking is very hard if the reporter's prepared to push.
And there's got to be, and Jeff, please educate me about this, there's got to be a reaction and maybe a revised plan by some of these, quote-unquote moderators once they see what has come before them. In Guthrie's case, well, in everyone's case, they saw what happened during the first debate and how Chris Wallace was just, unable to try to rein the candidates in any way, shape, or form, and maybe more of an impetus for Savannah Guthrie to get tougher this time?
I think she certainly took a lesson from what happened at the debate. I also think NBC was under a lot of pressure because a lot of people, myself included, thought it was a really, really the wrong case to program that exactly opposite the other candidate.
Do you think?
I read their explanations. They said we wanted to have exactly the same time and exactly the same format and exactly the same place that we had for Biden, who had done one earlier. And 9 o'clock would have been a larger audience, maybe, and that wouldn't have been unfair. I don't know what the real impetus was, but nobody at NBC thought to think, what would that, excuse me, that's my landline phone that my wife will eventually get. Nobody thought at NBC, well, what's the implication of not dealing with the, you know, with this question of competing town halls?
Right.
So, and I think to that extent that Savannah Guthrie, who, by the way, has experience as a litigator, which I didn't know. She has been in courtrooms, you know, examining witnesses. And that, I think, gave her a leg up on how you do this. But I certainly think what happened to Chris Wallace was a warning signal. I also think that it's tougher to just constantly do what Trump did in the debate because the opponent isn't there.
Yeah. Well, he's got to have an opponent, and there's one, I guess the only other one on stage is, you know, the host or the moderator or whatever. What about the way that, you know, town halls, the whole purpose is for people to be able to, you know, ask their own questions and have the candidates respond directly to them. Who was successful in that part of the endeavor?
Well, to be candid with you, I'm not a big fan of the town hall style, certainly not the debates. Because I hope this doesn't sound too unkind, but a lot of the questions are kind of anodyne, by which I mean they're things like, what will you do to make my son's chances for a job better? What would you do about how divided the country is?
Yeah.
A couple of questions. One of the people at the Biden town hall asked a very smart question. He said, you know, we've got peace in the Middle East breaking out. We've got an end to conflicts in the Balkans. Don't you think that the president deserves some credit on the foreign policy? But what I think we saw with the Trump town hall was that you had a moderator who was prepared enough so that if Trump gave an evasive or, let's say, factually challenged answer to one of the questioners, Guthrie stepped in and said, excuse me, but on the DACA program, you know, you wanted to zero it out.
Yeah.
You're for pre-existing conditions, but you're in court now trying to knock out the whole Obamacare. And that's the kind of follow-up that I think makes a difference. It's what some journalistic critics call a truth sandwich. If you know a candidate is likely to present you with a not entirely accurate answer, you precede the question by saying, for instance, by universal judgment, there is virtually no mail fraud with mail-in voting. Mm-hmm. We've had a billion votes. And that, but you say there's going to be massive fraud. Why?
It's a matter of preparation, don't you think? And it's a matter of knowing who your guest is, too.
Absolutely. And that's why I think Guthrie's experience as a litigator came in so handy, because the old rule in trials is never ask a witness a question if you don't know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah, it is the same notion for sure. Jeff Greenfield is a TV analyst. He's an author. He has watched political life for quite a while now. And Jeff, talk about the likelihood and whether it's a good idea or not to have another presidential debate.
You know, under ordinary circumstances, I would say the more the merrier. You know, it's a 90 minutes of unfiltered exchange. Based on what we saw a couple of weeks ago, I'm very dubious. And in fact, the one way I think you could do a debate to prevent chaos is exactly what the president has said he won't do, which is a virtual debate with the candidates in two different cities. By the way, John Kennedy and Richard Nixon's third debate back in 1960, one was in New York and one was in Los Angeles. And with that separation, I think there'd be less of a motive or less of an opportunity to constantly interrupt and berate and shut up or, you know, stop being a clown, Biden says. And I don't have to go back to that.
Yeah, we'll remember it forever.
Yeah. So unless they can figure out some way to avoid that. But I have to say this, you know, as in so many other things, These presidential debates have been going on with an interruption starting in 1960 and then since 1976. We've never had this issue before. People have complained about certain forms. We have never had anything like what happened. Now, what's the variable? What's the one thing that we think might have explained why this debate, as Jewish folks say in Passover, why was this debate different from all other debates?
Yep.
And there's a two-word answer, and the first word is Donald.
Right. Very good. And just your prognostication quickly, Jeff, about whether you think there will be one or not.
I'd be skeptical. I don't think they're going to be able to figure out how to resolve the differences.
Very good. Jeff Greenfield has written an article about that last night's dueling town halls, in his words, revealed that there's no substitute for tough questions. It's in Politico magazine. And Jeff, always a pleasure to talk to you. We've still got 2.5 weeks to go.
We do. And good luck up there, you know, on the climate front.
Thank you very kindly. We're doing well today. And we thank you for that. Jeff Greenfield. And good to have him with us. And yeah, he's a big fan of the wine country, and his family have visited here often, and just one of the people on a national front who expresses their concern for Sonoma County.